fun together.
Your Sports Radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College.
Well, for an Earth Day, it is looking gorgeous outside. So get out and enjoy it sometime today, all right? Welcome to Let's Talk for a Tuesday morning. Again, Scott Giese with you. Our friend the Ironhead, Jeff Byers, is in the middle, right smack dab in the middle of a really cool vacation. That guy. He won't be back till Monday, so folks are stuck with me for the rest of the week. Terribly sorry. Although, we've got some great guests coming up this week. We'll talk about that in a little bit. All right, we've got some open line time now. If you got something on your chest, on your mind, on your head, on your foot, well, not your foot, 814-954-7266, 814-954-7266. It does look like we got a nice big window here at our studio, and our studio is kind of aligned that we can look right out the window, and so I get to see all sorts of people walking around a parking lot. But other than that, it's a beautiful day. On my drive into the studio, I've never done that. Well, I've done this, but not professionally. These folks that mow lawns and trim and garden, you know, for businesses and stuff like that, passed a bunch of those guys. Again, they're already out and about this morning. That must be an interesting job. One guy was on a lawnmower, and it wasn't exactly flat where he was mowing. It was sort of like a rise or a small hill, and he's mowing, I'm going to say, sideways, and I'm thinking, man, that thing's going to tip over, buddy. You better watch out. I mean, he was sort of on top of a hill, like a rounded hill, with his lawnmower, and I'm thinking, I don't think I want to do that. That's a little dangerous. He's a little sideways. Some guy's out with weed whackers this morning. All right, okay. I think, finally, that's what I'm going to be doing sometime this afternoon or this evening. I'm going to be joining you because right now my lawn looks terrible. It looks really bad. I've been either busy or we had some rain yesterday, so I couldn't do it yesterday. Today has got to be the day. So we'll see how my lawn tractor does. I started it up a couple of weeks ago. Started up just fine. Checked, you know, the oil and all that sort. Seems to be great. Like, okay, here we go. I think today is the day. So there we go. Let me start with an apology of sorts. If you're a regular listener, we're as annoyed as you are, I suppose. We're having some connection issues with Fox Sports Radio, and it's driving us crazy. And this is a perplexing, very strange problem that we've had a hard time trying to figure out what the deal is. Somebody, I think, is doing something as I speak. And then hopefully at 10 o'clock, when Dan Patrick's show comes on, hopefully we'll have that all fixed up. But we have certainly noticed the issues. We apologize. It's a weird, weird problem. As far as I know, I'm not dropping out. God forbid, I didn't drop out when I was in school. I'm not going to drop out now. So we'll hopefully get that fixed up here soon. All right. Maybe in the next 2 hours would be interesting. All right. Some interesting news and notes. Now, this time yesterday morning, I mentioned we had just found out about the passing of Pope Francis in Rome. It had just essentially occurred. It happened early yesterday morning, Rome time. And I remember yesterday I mentioned it briefly because we really didn't have any details other to say that on Sunday, Easter Sunday, the Pope was out. He was out, you know, St. Peter's Square, and people saw him. He was in the Pope Mobile. He was greeting children and all that sort of thing. And then all of a sudden, boom. Well, it was revealed, if you didn't know, of course, this was the lead news story yesterday. If you somehow missed it and so on, apparently the Pope had a stroke early yesterday morning, and he was already weakened. He was just out of the hospital, a couple of weeks ago with a really bad case of pneumonia. It looked like he was on the comeback trail, and then something happened. So that was by far the big news story yesterday. Again, Francis, let's see. I'm not Catholic. This is Scott. I'm very Protestant. I believe he was Pope for 13 years. Very interesting 13 years. Some people happy, some people not, about various decisions and comments and things that he made over his time. From Argentina, the only pope ever to come from the Americas, North and South America, the only one. You know, when you have a situation like this, you find out interesting, I guess call it trivia. Obviously, the Catholic Church is very, 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 very old. He was the 266th pope. Now, I'm thinking the church goes back, I'm going to say, 1,500 years, and 266 popes. I mean, if you just sort of, you know, do the math, if you will, that's an average of only maybe 6 years per pope. I'm rounding here a little bit, which doesn't seem very long, does it? 6 years per pope. Pope Francis, I believe, was pope for 13 years. And so now, what happens? Well, it's interesting. If you follow news, you saw some of the things that happened yesterday. Donald Trump is an interesting fellow. To my knowledge, he's not Catholic. He announced for flags to be flown at half staff for the Catholic Pope. And I just thought, okay, now maybe that happens all the time, and I've missed it in the past, but there it is. I thought, okay, that's an interesting decision. We now know the Pope's funeral is going to be on Saturday morning in Rome, 10 a.m. Rome time. Now, there's a six-hour time difference between us and them, so that's 4 a.m. our time. So if you are, I suppose, Catholic, and this will obviously be on television, you can, you know, watch the proceedings, you're going to have to get up in the middle of the night for this one, because it's going to be a very early go. President Trump announced yesterday he's going to the funeral, so he'll be there with First Lady Melania Trump, and I assume probably some other dignitaries. I think the President of France is going to be going. I assume probably today we'll hear about some other foreign dignitaries that are going to be attending the thing. Okay, that's fine. Again, there will be plenty of coverage of that on Saturday. Just on 4 a.m. our time, Pacific time would be 1 a.m. You might as well just stay up Friday night, and if you want to watch it, if you're out in, you know, L.A. or San Francisco or something like that. So that is what's going on there. And then probably in about, I think, 2 to 3 weeks, the Catholic Church essentially will come together. All these cardinals will show up in Rome, 135 voting cardinals, and they'll lock them up in the Sistine Chapel, and their job is to pick a new pope. You know, it's kind of interesting what you learn from a novel. Okay, like a book, a novel, which is fiction. Well, sometimes it's fiction. And as this, you know, over the last day or so, I just thought, okay, I think I know what's going to happen here. Not from history, if you will, but more from novels. If you're familiar with the novelist Dan Brown, if you haven't read his books, you've seen his movies, or movies from his books. The Da Vinci Code, very popular book, very popular movie. Tom Hanks plays the hero, and he then repeated that role. There's another one, Angels and Demons. There's another one, Inferno. You know, Dan Brown is into this, how would you call it, kind of religious, mystery adventure type stuff. His hero again is Robert Langdon, who's a professor, and Tom Hanks has played him in these different movies. Well, if you remember the one Angels and Demons, that was one where the Pope dies, and now they've got to pick a new Pope, and there's intrigue in the background and all this other stuff. The Camerlengo. All right, that term is, I guess you would call him the Pope's assistant. So for the next 2 to 3 weeks, the person of kind of sort of in charge of the Catholic Church is the Camerlengo. And now, without giving it away, if you check out Angels and Demons, either the book or the movie, I've done both, And once again, the movie's good. I mean, the movie is very good, but there's some elements in the book that didn't make the movie that should have made the movie. I don't know if it was somehow scandalous or something, but I mean, both are great. But the Camerlengo is a major role in both the book and the movie. And now we have the real life situation where the Camerlengo, the Pope's assistant, is, I guess, technically the person in charge. Now, I'm not a Catholic historian by any stretch. Again, I'm Protestant. The Camerlengo right now is American, actually Irish-American. He's a cardinal, Kevin Farrell, who is now acting as the head of the church as the Camerlengo. And I guess I would just like to know, has there ever been a situation in the past, because there's never been an American pope, and frankly, I just highly doubt there will ever be an American pope. I just don't think there will be, for whatever the reasons are. I don't think there will ever be an American pope. But this particular situation, where the Camerlengo right now is in charge for a couple of weeks, this happens to be an American. Has that ever happened before? Now, in the little bit of reading I was able to do yesterday, I couldn't find anything about that. But I don't know, I found it interesting that an American, technically, right now, is in charge of the Catholic Church, sort of. All right. Now, if somebody knows, you've got that information, like, I don't know, when John Paul passed away, you know, this happened or something, whatever. I'm just curious. 814-954-7266. If somebody happens to know, that's just my history side and my curiosity side wants to know, has this ever happened before? Maybe somebody will dig into that. All right, I mentioned Earth Day today. All right, let's ring the bell for Earth Day. Earth Day has been around since 1970. At least where we're at, it's going to be a nice Earth Day. And I know there's a list. You can probably find it online. There's some activities. State College Borough, there's some activities. Of course, Penn State has some activities today. I think they're doing some things around the Arboretum today. If you can kind of get out and about, maybe for Earth Day, do something as simple as pick up trash. All right, I mentioned that blurb yesterday. When I did some traveling over the weekend, I had to drive over Seven Mountains. I'm headed south. And at the top of Seven Mountains, before you start to go down, I just remember looking to my right where trucks are normally parked or paused before they go down the mountain. And I was simply stunned at the amount of trash right there at the Seven Mountains, right at the top of the mountain before you start to go down. I was stunned at the amount of trash lying by the side of the road. I mean, it was disgusting. Little bitty trash, bags of trash, all kinds of trash. And so, I don't know, today on Earth Day, maybe somebody officially is supposed to take care of Seven Mountains and hasn't been doing it lately. If you're looking for a project, if you're very careful, a lot of traffic there, somebody pick up that trash. I mean, that was just, ugh, that was revolting. Seeing, I mean, we're talking lots and lots of trash by the side of the road. That just, I'm sorry, that shouldn't happen. But happy Earth Day. Let's see, 30, that would be 55 years of Earth Day. All right. Boston Marathon was yesterday. It's always the Monday around mid-April. This one a little extra special, I suppose, because this is the 250th anniversary of Lexington and Concord and the start of the Revolutionary War and all that sort of stuff. No surprise, a couple of runners from Kenya, a man and a woman, were the winners, because they just, when it comes to marathons, those folks can just flat out run. I mean, just unbelievable. But, congratulations to all of them. Now, here's something. Maybe somebody knows some further information. I've been digging, and I can't find anything. This Saturday is sort of a national day. You can do a little web searching for it. It's National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day. And what's supposed to happen on Saturday is if you have, you know, medications or drugs and so on, and they're outdated and so on, or medications maybe that you simply don't need anymore, you're not supposed to, like, throw them in the trash. You're not supposed to flush them down the toilet. You're not supposed to do any of that stuff. You're supposed to get rid of them responsibly. And so every year, I guess right about now, they have this day, National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day. And it's supposed to be, I've got a time here, it's supposed to be Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Now, here's the issue. There's supposed to be some place local where you would be able to take your stuff and distribute and get rid of it properly. In other words, probably, you know, give it to somebody, and then they will dispose of it properly, some official person. There is a website for this, because this works under the DEA, Drug Enforcement Administration. The website is DEA.gov/takebackday. That's it. DEA.gov/takebackday. And if you go to the website, you can put in your address or your zip code, and within a certain number of miles of where you are, and it's supposed to tell you, okay, you can go here and get take your stuff, you can go here and take your stuff, and so on. When I put in our local zip codes, like my code, I'm from Penns Valley, I put in my code, or if I put in, I don't know, 16803, State College zip code, and punch it up for like within 25 miles or something, it's blank. And I'm thinking, there isn't one place around here that's taking part in this. Now, if you open it up a little bit, because you can do, I think, 25 miles, 50 miles, I think 100 miles is even on there, then a whole bunch of places pop up in other areas, like down toward Harrisburg. I think a couple of places in Altoona are doing this pickup, so and so on. But for some reason, around here, Center County, there's nothing. Now, could that change between now and Saturday? Maybe, I don't know, maybe some hospital or clinic or doctor's office or fire station or something, maybe they will decide to do it. But as of this morning, I checked it again, and it's blank for Center County, which I'm scratching my head on that a little bit. There isn't one place nearby that isn't doing this collection on Saturday. If somebody out there happens to know some information on this, like something local, again, 814-954-7266. I'm hoping between now and Saturday, somebody steps up to say, yes, we're going to do this on Saturday, because you just shouldn't mess with old medications and drugs. And you're not supposed to just chuck them, and you're not supposed to, definitely not supposed to flush them or any of that stuff. You're supposed to dispose of them properly rather than just have them in your drug cabinet for the next X number of years. That doesn't do any good. So if somebody out there happens to know some information, we're going to take a break in a couple of minutes. Maybe later on I'll mention it. Call in if you know some place that's doing this nearby on Saturday. That would be valuable to know. All right. Are we in a recession right now? Well, this gets some interesting argument. Depends on who you listen to. Now, I think I've mentioned before, you know, you see these talking heads on television and you see these Wall Street types, and we're supposed to just essentially buy into everything these Wall Street types say when it comes to finances. And folks, I'm sorry, I do not. All right, I do not. Just because somebody makes several tens of millions of dollars a year doing financial stuff doesn't necessarily make them the unqualified expert. And again, we've looked at these Wall Street and stock market gyrations over the last couple of weeks, which here we are, you and me, we're the regular folks. And we see this craziness going on, and you see your IRA numbers going down or your mutual fund numbers going down, and you're throwing up your hands like, what the heck? I mean, come on, guys. This is not disaster time. We're not even close to disaster time. I don't think disaster time's ever going to happen. But these people, whoop, 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 up they go. No, actually, that's up. It's more like down. And we're just, well, there's nothing we can do, right? Joe, you got a mutual fund, you got an IRA, you got a retirement account, down go your numbers because of craziness from other people. And so I caught one story a couple of days ago, you know, these Wall Street types, well, what, here's Jamie Dimon from J.P. Morgan. He believes the economy is facing, quote, considerable turbulence. Yeah, because of you guys. That's why there's considerable turbulence. If you guys would calm down, we wouldn't have considerable turbulence. Now, would we? Folks, common sense still counts for something. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink said the U.S. may already be in a recession. No, it isn't. All right, unless you put us there, Mr. Wall Street banker. All right. Now, are people pulling back? Well, here's a question for the audience. Are people pulling back on their spending? Now, probably the answer is yes. Because we've, how do I put this? We've all been scared into it. Like, oh my gosh, this is really bad. And so people are hoarding certain items because they're afraid of tariffs and all this sort of thing. When if we would just say, okay, let's give this some time to see what happens first before we go nuts. Well, no, we've gone straight to nuts. All right. That's crazy. But here's a story. How do we know that maybe we're in a recession, and we're not, but some people are clearly reacting to it? Now, this is not me, all right? I'm reading this from the Morning Brew newsletter, which is one of my favorites. It says here, according to stats, young women are skipping hair appointments right now and opting for cheaper hairstyles. This is according to salon owners and hairstylists. All right, ladies, are you doing this? I've got a good friend who is a stylist. She's very, very good, and I'm hoping this isn't somehow affecting her business, this craziness. Apparently on TikTok, here we go again, everything through TikTok, there is a recent trend called recession blonde. Which apparently, I don't know if this is just a woman thing, I don't know. You let your natural darker roots grow out to save money on pricey touch-ups. Now, if somebody out there is doing this, I'm not laughing at you, okay? It's just, it's interesting how we react to certain things. And so maybe some women out there are just not doing the touch-ups with their hair like they normally do because they're afraid they got to hold on to more money, and so I'm going to put off my hair appointment for a while. Well, for stylists, obviously, that's really bad news. Let's see, Google. What is this? Google has found that searches for press-on nails in the country have gone up 10% since February. Ladies, I'm sorry. I've never understood press-on nails. I'm a dumb guy. I don't get it. Okay. It says here, darkening hair and cheap French tips might not feel too ominous for the economy on their own, but the beauty budget tightening comes amid record low consumer sentiment. Yeah, record low because we're seeing all the insanity around us that shouldn't be there, and so we react to it by not going out to eat as often, or not doing your hair, or something with your nails and something, or maybe not buying as much clothing as we normally might. Some of the national statistics, not hugely down, but they're down a little bit compared to normal, and this is probably people just reacting to the craziness that's going on right now. Well, again, I think the one thing to keep in mind is it's just craziness. And we're only going to go into a recession if we allow that to happen. So, again, when you see this Wall Street stuff, I mean, yesterday, down it went again because somebody said something. Doesn't that drive you crazy? Drives me nuts because that's my money they're playing with. Anyway, let's take a break. Open line time later. Sports coming up right after this.
The Fox. This is the Fox. Get the feeling. Whoa. This is the Fox. Happy Valley weather.
That's weatherbell.com. Foxcast. Some sunshine with a cool gusty breeze at times today. High temperature 65, diminishing winds this evening. Clear and chillier tonight. Low temperature 35 to 40. The sunshine returning tomorrow. Temperatures will get back up to 70. WeatherBell.com chief meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during the Belfont Cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Pimp, located at 136 South Harrison Road in Pleasant Gap and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. No purchase necessary.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
Get ready, Center County. Clearwater Pool and Spa is turning up the heat at this year's Belfont Cruise on June 13th and 14th with an incredible giveaway. We're giving one lucky winner a walk-in 735L hot tub by Hot Springs. This six-person luxury spa is designed for the ultimate relaxation experience, featuring powerful massage jets for deep hydrotherapy, multi-zone LED lighting to set the perfect mood, energy-efficient smart jet technology to keep costs low, and, of course, the trusted quality of Hot Springs Spas, the industry leader in comfort and innovation. Want to enter? Stop by Clearwater Pool and Spa in Center Hall before the event or visit our booth at the Belfont Cruise on June 13th and 14th to sign up. Don't miss your chance to take home this premium hot spring hot tub. Make sure to check us out online at groupclearwater.com or visit us in person at our Center Hall location where you can browse our full lineup of hot spring spas. And while you're there, be sure to ask about our Imagine Pools and our selection of fiberglass pools by Ocean Reef. Win big this summer with Clearwater Swimming Pool Company and the Belfont Cruise.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCutchen has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game all season long brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys, 98.7 The Fox.
All right, after my money rant there, I figured this would be appropriate. Oh, they don't make them like Dire Straits and good guitars anymore. They just don't. Hey, friends, welcome. Scott here for Let's Talk on a Tuesday morning program. Once again, if you're just tuning in, our friend Jeff Byers, he's on a really cool vacation this week. He'll be back. He better be back on Monday. I think they're not going to get home till late Sunday or something. I'm not sure. And if he's listening to the stream right now, you better get your butt home, buddy. All right, we want you back. All right, let's go on to sports. Now, let's start with this. Later on, we'll have a little newsy talk, but we're going to do mostly sports. 9 o'clock, joined by our friend Mark Brennan from Lions 24/7. Plenty to talk about in sort of local sports. Of course, this is the last week of Penn State spring football, blue-white game Saturday. Will it be the last blue-white game on Saturday? We'll see what Mark has to say. So we're going to talk about that. Also, the NFL draft begins Thursday night. Number of Penn State guys, maybe two first-rounders. We'll see. We'll be curious to get Mark's opinion on that. And then this whole thing about NIL, NCAA, paying players. There was some information that was passed out yesterday from the NCAA, you know, a possible plan and all this sort of thing. I'm not going to cover that here in the sports, but we'll talk it over with Mark when he joins us at the top of the next hour. All right, let's do some results here, and we'll start with high school action with girls softball. Now, yesterday I missed a game. Apologies. Girls softball, Baldy Galeria on Saturday lost at Williamsport. The final score of that day was 7-4. Lady Eagles fell behind 7-0 early, and then the Millionaires held on for what I would call an upset win. Now, granted, Bald Eagle is a 2A team. Williamsport, I think, is a 6A team. Normally, those two wouldn't necessarily play each other in almost anything because of that great differential and, you know, population and all that sort of thing, but they did on Saturday. And then yesterday, Bald Eagle's in a tough stretch. They lost a tough one yesterday to Central Cambria, 5-4. Lady Eagles had a 4-0 lead. Gave up 5 runs in the 4th inning. Ouch. So Bald Eagle's record now for girls softball falls to 5-3. A couple of county rivals went out at yesterday. Penns Valley losing at Phillipsburg Osceola 4-1. The Mounties scoring 3 times in the last 2 innings to get that win. Penns Valley, tough stretch. They've lost 2 straight. They're now 4-3 overall. Phillipsburg got off to a kind of a, I guess, a slow start, but now they've won 2 straight, and their record improves now to 6-3. High school baseball yesterday, State College winning at Mifflin County 6-1. State High scoring all 6 of their runs in the final 2 innings. A little bit of rally action there to even their overall record now at 4-4. Baldy Galeria baseball dropped a game at Central Cambria yesterday 5-4. The Eagles had a tough day. They had a 4-0 lead in the 7th. And then gave up 5 runs in the bottom of the 7th for Central Cambria to storm back and win that game. The Eagles now fall to 3-7 on the season. Now, you know, earlier the weather, not great. I think we're going to have a log jam of all kinds of games starting, well, today. Here's the expected schedule of action today. First off, in high school baseball, Bellefonte at Bald Eagle, usually always a great game. Penns Valley baseball at home with Clearfield today. In girls softball, once again, Baldy Galeria and Bellefonte, that should be an interesting game at Bellefonte. Penns Valley softball will be at Clearfield today, and Phillipsburg softball will be at Central. And some lacrosse action today. The State High boys will be at Mifflin County, while the State High girls lacrosse team will host Mifflin County, and the Bellefonte girls lacrosse team will be playing host to Danville later this afternoon. All right, let's move over to Penn State sports. Penn State baseball team at home this evening. They will welcome 17th-ranked West Virginia tonight. And yes, it's Tuesday. This is the final dollar dog night of the season. First pitch at 6 o'clock. This will be on the Big Ten Network, but folks, forget that. All right, come on. It's a beautiful day, or it looks like it's going to be a nice day, not too hot, not too cold, not going to rain, I think. 6 p.m. for Dollar Dog Night, free admission once again for Penn State baseball games. Also this evening is Faculty and Staff Appreciation Night. That would be Penn State, I assume. So I'm thinking weather, okay, not cold, okay, Dollar Dog Night, okay. Come on, record crowd tonight, or at least maybe a record with Dollar Dog Night tonight. Now, the Ironhead and I have done our own cute little, you know, bets and so on, and I've won most of the time. I'm just wondering, I don't know what the record is. Somebody keeps track of this on Dollar Dogs. Tonight could be a record breaker. If you're free this evening, you want to see some good baseball and get a dollar dog, as many as you want, apparently, tonight's your night. 6 p.m., Medler Field at Lubrano Park. Enjoy the game. All right, should be fun. All right, Penn State lacrosse. Let's start with the men first. Penn State men have the number 3 seed in the 2025 Big Ten tournament that was announced, I believe, yesterday. The Nittany Lions have a home game. They will play host to Johns Hopkins, which is the number 6 seed. That will be on Saturday at Panzer Stadium. The face-off is set for noon, so Saturday just got a little extra more busy. We got the, you know, Penn State spring football game, blue-white game. Then you've got this game at Panzer Stadium. Penn State got a nice win last week over Rutgers. So for the conference, they finished 3-2. Penn State, Maryland, Michigan had a three-way tie for second place with the same records. Maryland got the second seed because they have wins over Ohio State and Penn State. Ohio State's the one seed. Penn State got the 3 seed because they beat Michigan. Now, yes, you're saying Johns Hopkins? Big Ten, yes, for lacrosse, Johns Hopkins plays in the Big Ten. That's because, again, they're the 6 seed. There's only 6 schools in the entire Big Ten, apparently, that have men's lacrosse. All right, so they needed a 6th team. Okay, Johns Hopkins, why don't you join us? They did this for both the men and the women. Come on in and join us. So Johns Hopkins is the 6. Penn State is the 3. They played just, I think, 2 weeks ago, and Penn State won that game 10-4. So call them a decided favorite in this one. Saturday, noon, Panzer Stadium, and then the winner there, of course, will proceed to the next round of the tournament. The women's lacrosse team, interestingly enough, also playing Johns Hopkins. Now, their Big Ten tournament, this game will be at noon. No, it will not be here, unfortunately. The University of Maryland is playing host to the tournament this year. So the Penn State women will play Johns Hopkins Wednesday at noon, tomorrow at noon, in the opening round of the Big Ten tournament. Those two teams just played, last week? And Johns Hopkins, a heartbreaker. They scored a goal in overtime to win the game. That's an even matchup. The Penn State women, again, they got off to a slow start, and then they just started catching fire and playing really well. The only disappointment, if you will, they've had recently was that overtime loss to Hopkins. So a little revenge factor there tomorrow. So we'll see what happens with that particular game. All right, we got some basketball news for both the Penn State men and women. Some new players coming in. Yesterday, Penn State men's coach Mike Rhodes announcing officially the addition of Josh Reed to the program, transferring in from Cincinnati. He has 1 year of eligibility remaining. Reed is a 6'8 forward, played 3 seasons for Cincinnati. In that stretch, he played in 97 games. Not tremendous numbers, but he definitely was playing better down the stretch this past season. He is an excellent defender, scored in double figures 6 times last season, all 6 of those coming in the last 2 months of the season. Best numbers there, he scored a career-best 19 points, 8 of 12 shooting in a game against Cincinnati and Oklahoma State back on March 11th. So Josh Reed, 6'8", 220, joins the Penn State men's program. And over on the women's side, Penn State women's coach Carolyn Keeger announcing yesterday, 5'9 shooting guard Kiyomi McMiller will join the Lady Lions. McMiller was a freshman for Rutgers this past season. These are some pretty good numbers for Rutgers. She averaged 18.7 points, 4.7 rebounds per game as she played in 21 games. She was a postseason All-Big Ten honorable mention as selected by the media, was also the Big Ten Freshman of the Week twice this past season. So that's a good get for the Lady Lions this year. Kiyomi McMiller, originally from Silver Spring, Maryland. And we'll see, again, transfer portal and all this sort of stuff. We've heard about players leaving. Now time for get some players coming. We'll see how many more of those happen, because both these teams right now are depleted on people, and they need to pull some in. So we'll be looking for some, you know, further announcements. I'll have to see if I can maybe ask Mark Brennan about that when he joins us next hour. All right, Major League Baseball last night. Well, with Pennsylvania teams, not much. The Pirates were on a travel day, headed to the West Coast. They'll be in Los Angeles this week. Six games, starting with three with the Angels tonight, and then crosstown, if you will, three against the Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. Of course, you hear the Pirates right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Yep, these are going to be late games tonight. Airtime tonight should be, I think, around 9:10 tonight. First pitch around 9:40 or so. And so if you're a diehard Buccos fan, that's almost certainly gone past midnight our time. And I think, where's the rest of the schedule? Late game. The only early game, if you want to call it, will be on Sunday against the Dodgers. That airtime is 3:45 on Sunday. Otherwise, our other airtimes are much later, like in the 9 p.m. hour for the rest of the week. Listen to the Pirates here on 98.7 The Fox. The Phillies, also at a day off, they will be at the Mets tonight to begin a series. First pitch there tonight for the Phillies will be at 7:10. And finally, you know, I love our gadgets and gizmos and digital this, that, and the other thing. And we have so many media outlets now. I mean, it's crazy. You've got the standards that we all know and, if you will, grew up with. And then we have all these newbies. And there's a lot of them online. And just because somebody kind of tosses a name out there and they do so-called reporting, does that necessarily mean that, okay, this is a decent story? And I came across two of these recently. One of these I just came up with this morning. All right, if you're a Pirates fan, apparently Paul Skeens made a comment, I don't know, yesterday or a couple of days ago, and I'm just, what is this outlet called? Some of the names of these outlets. This one's called Fansided. I think I've heard of them before, but I can't say I really follow their stuff that closely. But hey, if you're a media outlet, you gotta have content. If you don't have good content, just kinda make something. And so here's this headline. Paul Skeens makes clear he's sick of Pirates' futility with stern locker room message. Keep in mind, Skeens is a second year player. Okay, rookie season last year. It's one thing to kind of, I don't know, lose it, if you will, in the locker room. But I'm reading this story, and there's a lot of, I don't know, fluff, you know, kind of, well, the Pirates aren't playing well. Oh, this was on Saturday. Okay, so Skeens made a comment on Saturday. I'm not going to play this, but I'm just thinking, okay, maybe he's not happy that the Pirates are not winning very often. I'm sure he's seen the reaction of Pirates fans, like our friend the Ironhead. He's not been pleased lately, or all season, with the Pirates' performance. And then the rest of the story, it's got some of Skeens' stats, and he had a bobblehead giveaway the other night, and all this sort of thing. Okay, is that really a story? Or is it one just sort of made up? I don't know. Then here's this one. There's an outlet called Essentially Sports. Again, this one, like, who's this? I've never heard of him. Okay. And so this is a Penn State football story. So, again, and the headline is the thing. All right. Now, this has never changed with newspapers and media. The headline is the thing. The idea is you put a headline out there. There's two types of headlines. There's a very straightforward headline, like, Pirates win the third in a row, 10-3, or something like that. And then there's a story about the game. Then there's the headline designed to grab your attention. And with some of these newbie media outlets, that's their stock and trade. They want to put headlines out there that are going to grab eyeballs, to essentially force or coerce you into reading this so-called story. And so here's this headline. This is from the weekend. This is the headline. Penn State assistant coach forced into damage control over James Franklin's woes with clear stance on Drew Aller. That's the headline. First off, it's too long. It's like, what? And I read this, and of course, for a moment, I thought, oh my gosh, what is this? And then I thought, okay, hold on. All right. And you read this story, and it's a non-story. It's a non-story. But you read the headline, you're like, oh my goodness, James Franklin's woes, damage control, oh my gosh. And then you read this non-story, and by the time I get to the bottom of this story, I'm thinking, why did I just read this? This was a total joke. It's got a quote from Adam Brenneman's podcast, where he's talking with Andy Kotelnicki, the offensive coordinator, and the coach has nice, great things to say about Drew Aller, but, you know, hey, you know, he's got to do some things better. Boom, instant controversy. It's like, no, this is crazy, all right? So, folks, I tell you, you got to watch these flash-in-the-pan media outlets because, again, their goal simply is to get your attention. And then when they get your attention, of course, there are ads tossed in there for all sorts of stuff, you know, all kinds of things. What's the ad in here? Something about action against hunger? All right, that's not exactly. Here's Northwestern Mutual. That's an insurance company. Here's one. What does your name mean? I don't know what it means, and I'm going to keep on moving. Watch out for the flash-in-the-pan media outlets, which we are not. All right, you're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
That's WeatherBell.com Foxcast. Some sunshine with a cool gusty breeze at times today. High temperature 65, diminishing winds this evening. Clear and chillier tonight. Low temperature 35 to 40. Sunshine returning tomorrow. Temperatures will get back up to 70. WeatherBell.com Chief Meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only one you need.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Sports fans flock to the We Are Inn in Phillipsburg for fun, great food and drink, and to cheer on the Nittany Lions. Now, coming to State College soon, visit the new Happy Valley Live by the We Are Inn next to the Hampton Inn, the former Damon's Restaurant. Happy Valley Live will become your go-to spot for sport, great Italian and American cuisine, the best bar in town, special rooms for parties and meetings. It's a Penn State fan's dream, just down the street from Beaver Stadium and the Jordan Center, and they're hiring. The countdown is on. The new Happy Valley Live is coming soon.
Classical music fans unite. Okay, this is the Hooked on Classics version of Mozart. I like Mozart. Why doesn't somebody, I bet if somebody tried to do, again, Hooked on Classics, for those of you old enough to remember, this is like the early 1980s, so at least 40 years ago. I bet if somebody came out with some new version, now God forbid, not a hip-hop version, please, please. No, not that. But if they did some, I don't know, newer version of this, I bet it would be an instant hit. Because this was back in the 80s. All right, enough of that. Welcome back to Let's Talk here for a Tuesday morning. Scott here with you. Once again, our friend Jeff Byers-Hill, he's on vacation, that lucky guy. He's tracking grizzly bears or something in a national park. And then he's going to Florida. Talk about a vacation. He's going from a national park in Wyoming to Florida. That's a vacation. The guy's getting his money's worth. He'll be back on Monday. Let's mention our phone number here real quick. 814-954-7266. We've got about 10 minutes of open time here. Then once again, coming up at 9 o'clock, our friend Mark Brennan from Lions 24-7 going to join me on the phone. And we're just going to talk some sports, Penn State sports. Spring practice for football this week. NFL draft begins on Thursday night. Again, all this NIL stuff. I mean, some of these numbers are just staggering that some of these kids are now making. College has been getting all the attention. I think there are some high schoolers out there making money because they're a hot basketball player or a great football player. Folks, this is not the world I grew up in. I still don't understand. But we'll get Mark follows this stuff very closely, and we'll be talking with him in about 10 or 12 minutes, so we'll look forward to that. But we've got a few minutes here of open time. 814-954-7266. Inadvertently, I lied to you on Friday. If you listen to Friday's show, I lied to you. It was inadvertent. It was an accident. All right. Lee Corso announced late last week he is going to be retiring. If you watch College Football Game Day on ESPN, Lee Corso is the guy at the end. He always puts some, you know, the highlight game of the day, and he makes his pick, and he puts on a Nittany Lion head or an Ohio State Buckeye head or some other kind of head, tiger or whatever, and then people either cheer or boo, or you know, if there's a crowd there, people cheer and boo. Okay, whatever. Lee Corso's retiring. He's going to do one more broadcast on August 30th, which is the first full day of the college football season, wherever ESPN's going to be. And if they've announced that yet, I missed it. All right, wherever they're going to be, Lee Corso's going to do one more broadcast, and then he's going to retire. Now, I mentioned on Friday that Corso is 90 years old, which... at the time on Friday, I'm like, wow, that is stunning. Is that right? When I first saw that, I thought, is that a typo? That can't be correct. It turns out it was not correct. Okay. It was not a typo. Lee Corso right now is 89 years old. If I'm correct, his birthday is in August. And so by the time they do that broadcast, he will be 90 years old. And I tell you, folks, again, whatever medications or drugs, whatever he's on, I want them. Send them my way. Because he's still rather sprite, if you will, for somebody who's essentially 90 years old. That's amazing. That's wow. He'll be missed. I'll be curious to see what ESPN does after he retires. Is somebody else going to do the put on the head thing? Kirk Herbstreit, is he going to put on a head like a Buckeye head or a Nittany Lion head or a Tiger head or whatever? I have no idea. All right. I have not seen any announcements on what they're going to do after Corso officially retires. It'll be interesting, all right? Keep an eye on that. Here's something we've mentioned before. Do you have your real ID? Oh, boy, trouble brewing if you don't have your real ID. All right, this is your, call it special driver's license. And it's interesting, there's been a lot of reaction because the date here is May 7. So what's supposed to happen is if you don't have a real ID in your wallet, purse, whatever, after, or I guess starting on May 7, that's kind of an odd day. That's a Wednesday, okay. If you don't have that on May 7, they will not let you on an airplane in this country. Unless, of course, you also have your passport, if you have a passport. Now, if you're going to do international travel, you need to have a passport. All right. And so you go get that thing. I've got one. My wife has one because we've done a little international traveling a couple of years ago. Now, if you don't have a real ID, just to fly here, like to fly from here to Philadelphia, that would be what? American Airlines, State College to Philadelphia. If you don't have a real ID, they will not let you on the plane. Then you either have to have a passport or you have to take a bus or drive your car. And forget, if you want to fly to Los Angeles, nope, got to have a real ID. Now, it's interesting. I've seen some stories recently, primarily with political conservatives, complaining about this. Why do we need special permission to fly inside the country? We've never had that before. Now, this is supposed to be a security thing, to ward off, fake IDs and stuff like that. Somehow the real ID is much more secure and all that sort of thing. Okay, fine. Now, May 7, let's see, what's today? Today's the 22nd. I'm going to round off. That's 2 weeks. So you have 2 weeks yet to go to the driver's license center, which for us is in Pleasant Gap, and get your real ID. All right. And when I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, I mean, there are driver's license centers, obviously, all over the state. And the statistic I had, if this is accurate, of the 50 states, the state with the fewest number percentage, the state with the fewest number of people with a real ID, for whatever reason, is Pennsylvania. Somehow we're last on this list. That stuns me right there. And so, now, if you're not going to be flying anywhere, is your current driver's license good enough? Yes. Okay. And there's other things. If you're going to go on a military installation, you need to have a real ID. All right. How many of us do that? If you're going to visit, if you're going to visit a nuclear power facility, you need a real ID. Okay. How many of us do that? Nah. But get on an airplane? There's a decent number of people that do that. Now, in my particular case, I had a real ID, 4 years ago, whatever it was. This is interesting. The real ID law passed 20 years ago. They passed the law 20 years ago, and then it was like they just kept sort of pushing the date back. Okay, deadline, whoop, whoop, whoop. The deadline was supposed to be 5 years ago, but if you remember 5 years ago, we had this thing called COVID. And that just messed up everything. So then they pushed it back. Well, now Trump and company have decided to hold firm on this. And it's interesting, some political conservatives on the right are complaining. Why are we doing this? What's the big deal? Why do we have to do this? So that's interesting. You got Trump on one side, you got political conservatives on the other side on this one. Kind of weird. Now, in my case, my driver's license, I need to renew it. So I filled out the form, paid my money, blah, blah, blah. Now I have to go to the office in Pleasant Gap and get in there. And I guess they take a new picture of me. And I don't know, you fill out something. And the good news about the Pleasant Gap facility is that then they will make your new license right there for you. You can walk out with it. At most other driver's license centers around the state, apparently you can't do that. You can go in, they'll take your picture, get your information, but then they will send you your ID, which could take up to 3 weeks. Well, the deadline for this gig is May 7. That's 2 weeks. So technically, you're not getting on an airplane for a little while. All right. Again, your regular driver's license, if all you're doing is driving, as far as I know, your regular driver's license is fine. All right. You can still drive where you need to drive. But if you want to get on an airplane after starting May 7, now the only problem was I actually stopped at Pleasant Gap at the center, what was it, about a week ago, and I walk in and the place is full of people. And I'm looking around like, okay, I'm not sitting through this. I turn around and left. So sometime, maybe this week, I'll probably try it again. I want to see if there's another room full of people when I walk into the center there in Pleasant Gap this time. Because, again, if Pennsylvania somehow is dead last in this gig, you better hurry up. All right? You better hurry up. That's the whole thing there. Don't... don't dawdle on this one, especially if you know you're going to take a flight this summer on vacation. Well, then go get your passport if you don't have a real ID. Let's take a break. We're going to come back and talk some sports. Let's Talk will continue right after this.
This WeatherBell.com Foxcast of sunshine with a cool gusty breeze at times today. High temperature 65, diminishing winds this evening. Clear and chillier tonight. Low temperature 35 to 40. The sunshine returning tomorrow. Temperatures will get back up to 70. WeatherBell.com Chief Meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only one you've got.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox Sports.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. PIMP, located 136 South Harrison Road in Pleasant Gap and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. No purchase necessary.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a stock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
Hey, this is Joe Lednuski. Join Jack Quinn and me every weekday, Monday through Friday, 12 to 2, for PA Sports Midday, Pennsylvania Sports Network, and streaming at pasports.net. Jack, Joe, me, you, all of us. It's going to be a good time every time right here on these radio stations, Monday through Friday, 12 to 2. It's the Midday Show, boys and girls. Be there or be square. We're streaming at pasports.net, the Pennsylvania Sports Network.
When winter is at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Sports fans flock to the We Are Inn in Phillipsburg for fun, great food and drink, and to cheer on the Nittany Lions. Now, coming to State College soon, visit the new Happy Valley Live by the We Are Inn next to the Hampton Inn, the former Damon's Restaurant. Happy Valley Live will become your go-to spot for sport, great Italian and American cuisine, the best bar in town, special rooms for parties and meetings. It's a Penn State fan's dream, just down the street from Beaver Stadium and the Jordan Center, and they're hiring. The countdown is on. The new Happy Valley Live is coming soon.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox City College.
Appropriate tune. Here we go.
Do you remember when it was
September. All right, we're going back to the 70s. Hey, I'm old. What do you want? Earth, Wind, and Fire, September. Great. One of their best songs. because I think they play some college football in September. It just, I don't know, it's amazing the way that works. Let's talk here for a Tuesday, and we're going to talk some sports. Let's introduce our friend Mark Brennan from Lions 24/7. Good morning, Mark.
It's great to be here. You know, football, Scott, is not just the fall anymore. It's year-round. No. There's, like, literally no breaks whatsoever.
Yeah, really. Now, yes, I know the season, folks, starts August 30th. Hey, play along, September, all right? That's the way it goes. All right, we're going to talk some sportsy stuff because it's that kind of week. Got a blue-white game coming up on Saturday. Little shindig involving the NFL on Thursday night. And then money flying in all directions. So, Mark, there's our three main topics that we're going to chat with you on today. First off, let's do a free plug for folks that aren't familiar what you do, Lions 24/7. Give us some background on what you're doing.
Yeah, the name kind of says it all. I mean, we cover Penn State sports, primarily football, hoops, football recruiting, every day of the year, year-round. It's fun, though. It's a great thing to do, and we're actually running a pretty cool special now, 50% off an annual subscription. Or if you want to take a test drive, kick the tires a little bit, you get 1 month for $1. So that takes you through the end of spring practice and all the recruiting stuff that's happening next month. It's fun. So I'll leave it at that. I mean, people, I think, know about the site. If you don't, just go to lions247.com. You can check it out. It's a fun place to be. Message boards, videos, stories, premium content, you name it.
Folks, this guy and I used to work, together, oh my lord, 30, do I want to remember? 30-something years ago.
When.
How's Stacy?
She's doing great. My daughter, Grace, is doing great. She shoots photos for us. And one of the really cool things, and you know, I always like to throw a little personal thing in here, and usually I'm making fun of you somehow, but
yes, you are.
Your daughter, Miss Geezy at the time, ended up teaching my daughter at Mountain Indy Middle School. So that was a very cool way that things kind of come full circle in this community. It's a great community, and the way you run into other people's families. You know, you and I kind of worked in the sports field, the media, that sort of thing, but to see our daughters connect at a different level, I can't tell you how much my daughter loved having your daughter as a teacher, so it was very cool.
All right, I'll pass that along. Also means we're both very old, so that's not good.
Yes.
All right, let's start with spring practice. All right, just sort of because you cover this obviously very closely, just sort of an open-ended question. How's it been? What's been happening? What's been, I don't know, important with this year's Penn State spring practice? Go.
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost was the roster retention. You look around at what's happening now, and I know that a lot was made of a guy like Tamir Robinson entering the portal. But, you know, with this ridiculousness of the portal opening during spring practice for a lot of teams, I mean, it's just been pure insanity. The fact that Penn State, I think, was able to maintain, you know, the vast majority of its roster, it's odd. I mean, you know, 10 years ago, we would never have been even talking about this stuff. But if you look at what Penn State was able to do in keeping the majority of its roster together, the majority of its key players, returning together, I think was unbelievable. Number two, I think really one of the stories that I don't think received enough kind of notoriety this spring was kind of the battle for that backup quarterback job. You know, Bill Prabula ended up entering the portal. Again, ridiculousness that the portal opened as the last season was going on. And I think most people have a healthy respect for what Bill Prabula was able to do as a backup QB. You know, basically led them to a win at Wisconsin, and that ended up being an important game for them. And I don't know that he really had much of a choice. I mean, if he was going to stick around for another year, he'd have been sitting behind Drew Aller and decides to go into the portal, leaves for Missouri. And that leaves them basically with Jackson Smolik, who was injured last year, didn't play at all, and Ethan Grunkemeyer, a true freshman last year, who played in one game, SMU, after Prabula left. So I think this spring was big for both of those kids in the sense that you know what you have in Drew Aller. You know, he's in his second year in Andy Kotelnicki's offense. And if you were at practice, if you had the opportunity to be at practice, which I know a lot of people didn't, but we did, you know, I thought they did something that was pretty cool. They had Aller working with a bunch of the veterans, but they were able to get Smolik and Grunkemeyer. He was banged up last week, but I think he's going to be fine. Just a ton of snaps. And that is so important because, Scott, you know, you've been around, whether it was 30 years ago or whether it's, you know, last year, you're only one snap away from your starting quarterback being out. And to have both of those kids get a lot of action, I think just was really, really important. So, you know, that, the linebackers, they lost Tamir Robinson, which to me, if you look at their linebacker depth, you think about Kobe King going out. He had another year, but he decided not to take it. Being able to get some of those guys, the younger kids there, snaps, was really important as well. You know, they're down, Scott, now to three guys, basically, who have played any football whatsoever in DeLuca Rojas and Keon Wiley. And Rojas is out this spring with an injury. So everybody else has really freshman or redshirt freshman eligibility. So that's another spot that I think was very important for them. And then obviously everybody's talking about wide receiver. They lose their two top wide receivers from last year. But how well did either of those guys play? They weren't consistent whatsoever. So it's a total overhaul, bringing in a couple of transfer portal entries in early January. Kyron Hudson from USC and Devontae Ross from Troy, I think, was really big. And then, you know, keep an eye on what some of the younger receivers are going to do there. So that's kind of a brief overview. But this weekend, what are we going to see in the Blue Way game? I think it's going to be similar to recent years where not really a whole heck of a lot. I hate to be a wet blanket, but it's never going to be the scrimmage that it used to be back in the day. It's always going to be more of a kind of extended practice, you know, that kind of thing where they're really going to go above and beyond not to show anything. It's better than what Matt Rhule is doing out of Nebraska and deciding not to have a, and with all due respect to Matt Rhule, a state college guy who we both covered way back in the day, but, you know, they're not just going to eliminate it altogether. But still having the blue-white game, I think it's good, but I'm not sure what you're going to draw out of it.
All right. I've got some questions, but let me ask this one while it's fresh on my mind, because I honestly do not know. Who is in charge of the portal? Who sets that thing up? That you mentioned the timing, which I also thought was kind of dumb. Who's in charge? Is that the NCAA? Who's in charge of this gig?
Yeah, it's the NCAA. And so basically, they make these decisions, and the crazy thing about it, Scott, is they do this with no input from coaches. And, you know, I'm not saying coaches are the be-all, end-all, but they could give feedback on what's going to make the most sense. So, I mean, for people who haven't followed, you know, for people who aren't sports junkies, let me go back to the Bo Prabula situation. So the portal opened in early December, I think it was. Everything's running together.
Yes.
The season went so
yes.
long. But so it opens in early December and it closes in like early January. So a guy like Bo Prabula, if he wants to, he was the Penn State's backup quarterback last year, played really well for them when they needed him. You know, Drew Aller, the starter, was hurt at Wisconsin. Prabula came in, led them to a victory. He's on the same. He's a year behind Aller on his timeline, only because he redshirted as a true freshman and Aller didn't. But so what? That puts him in a position where this season Aller is a senior in his final year of eligibility. Tribula would have been in his next to last year of eligibility. So he was going to be sitting behind Aller. I mean, the writing was on the wall. I mean, everybody knew that. And then maybe he has next year as a starter. So he's in a position where if he doesn't enter the portal, he is only looking at potentially 1 year as a starter. And whether you like that or not, you know, kids, you're a quarterback, you just don't want to do that. So he wanted to stay with Penn State through the end of the season and the college football playoff run. But there's a limited number of quarterback spots out there. So once the portal opens, if you're not in it, you may be costing yourself an opportunity. So by opening the portal during the season and during the college football playoffs, you're basically forcing a kid to make a decision. And that's why it's so much different than it used to be, where if a kid left the program, was like, oh, I can't believe it, he's a term good. I think everybody felt for Bo Prabula that he basically had to enter the portal. So they do that then, and now they have this situation where the portal opens in April for a week, and it opened last week and it's closing the day before the Blue White game. So if a kid wants to go seek an opportunity elsewhere, he isn't even making it through the end of spring practice. And it's just absolute insanity. It's nuts. I mean, I asked James Franklin about it last week, and what they should do, and I agree with James. I don't agree with James on everything. I agree with him on this. There should be one portal opening per year, probably after spring practice, when everybody kind of knows where they stand, and open it for a couple of weeks and let kids make their decisions and then go from there. But the way they have it now, it's just putting the players, it's putting the coaches, it's putting everybody in just a horrible position.
All right, quick question and opinion. All right, the NCAA, once again, how long until this organization collapses? What do you think?
I think it's only a matter of time until the major conferences are somehow policing themselves. And that's frightening in its own sense, but could it be worse at this point? I guess the NCAA is winging it on all of this. And I don't know what the answer is. I don't. But it's got to be better than what's going on now. There's so much money involved that, again, it's going to be only a matter of time until the major conferences, the Power Four, I guess it's called now, or, you know, does it ultimately come down to a Power Two, which I think it's, you know, eventually that's where things seem to be headed. But, yeah, I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's only a matter of time until it kind of collapses in on itself, and the conferences are going to have to police themselves, which is kind of a frightening thing, but I don't know that it could be any worse than what it is now.
Well, I don't know. I don't know, man. I want to ask you your thoughts on this NIL stuff, which I still don't understand, but I'm going to save that for later. Yeah. While you were talking, I had a flashback of sorts. 40 years ago, Penn State had John Schaefer and Matt Kizner as quarterbacks. And I remember there was a quarterback controversy back then. Even though Penn State played in the national championship game 2 years in a row, they lost the first one, won the second one, Kizner hung around and he got to play 1 year as a starter, and that was 87, because then he was done. That was it. I'm thinking, Mark, would you agree? If that were today, Kizner would hit the portal. Probably wouldn't even waste time doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the problem then for kids was that there were all sorts of rules. So you would have had to sit out one of your years of eligibility, and you don't have to do that anymore. Obviously,
nope.
I mean, we're to the point now, Scott, where you know there's a kid who committed to, let me think if I get this right. He committed to UCLA, ended up flipping and signed with Arkansas. And then this was, you know, he enrolled in January of this year, and now he's already in the portal and he's going back to UCLA. It's crazy. It's insanity. So, yeah, I mean, they've done away with all those restrictions. So, you know, ideally, what they would have done was find a happy medium. But obviously they weren't able to do that because they were basically, I want to choose my words correctly. They weren't treating these athletes fairly for decades and decades and decades, to the point where when push came to shove, they basically had to let it be free agency. And that's what it's come down to. And it's even worse than free agency because kids are signing, you know, the kid from Tennessee, and I was talking about his younger brother, but the kid from Tennessee who signed an NIL deal with Tennessee, ends up saying, I want more money, and he's not beholden to the deal, and he's ending up at UCLA as well. So it's crazy. And, you know, you can't necessarily be critical of the kids because they're doing the same exact thing that coaches do. Coaches are signing contracts and then not honoring them and going and moving somewhere else. So it was over-policed for so many years that it got to the point where now there's no policing it whatsoever. So it's crazy, but I'll go back to what I – and that's why when we started talking, Scott, I said the one thing that Penn State has done really well has been roster retention. And, again, who would have ever thought we would have been talking about that? But I think what it comes down to is you really have to set the proper culture in your program that it's about more than just money, and that people are able to see that if they're successful within your program, they're eventually going to make money. They're eventually going to get paid. And it may not be, you know, $2 million immediately, but if you're that good of a player and do what you need to do, you have the opportunity to be the next Abdul Carter or Tyler Warren or, you know, Micah Parsons or Saquon Barkley or whoever, and get to where you need to be and make the money that you deserve.
All right, we'll take a break here in a minute or two. All right, Drew Aller, I love the kid. I think he's great, tremendous professional potential, made one ill-advised throw in that game with Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And occasionally, I still, on social media, I'll see some fan, you know, ragging on Aller and oh, Penn State, oh, it's not going to turn out, rah, rah, rah. And I just, you know, I want to punch these people through the computer screen, I guess. Anything on him this spring? I mean, what did he need to do to get ready for, I guess, will be his final season this fall? What about him?
Yeah, I think he just has to, first of all, he's in his second year in Kotal Nicki's system now. So I think there's something to be said for that. That's big. I think he needs more consistency from his receivers. He has not had that. I mean, Tyler Warren, obviously, when you talk about, I'm talking about wide receivers. You know, Tyler Warren was obviously an awesome weapon for him. But, I mean, the last 2 years, he has had zero consistency from his receivers. If you go game by game for his primary wide receivers last year outside of, you know, Tyler Warren, again, a tight end, and you knew what you were going to get from him every game. So he needs more consistency, but it needs to be better decision-making on his part. I mean, that's what that boiled down to. He just made a bad decision in a key moment. And I know that sounds like I'm, like, poo-pooing it, but you have to learn from that. You have to take a look at it. And that's one of the things, you know, Danny O'Brien is their quarterback's coach now. I mean, he's been their quarterback's coach for the last couple years. They just weren't able to phrase it that way. But now with the expanded staffs, Danny O'Brien, former quarterback at Maryland, transferred to Wisconsin, was in the CFL for a bunch of years. But the one thing he said is that they have watched that play, like they've watched a lot of plays over and over and over again to figure out what went wrong. And Aller is the kind of guy, and this is coming from O'Brien, who I really respect, who isn't afraid to acknowledge his mistakes and has to learn from them. And that's what it's boiling down to at this point. I mean, he has all the tools to be an NFL quarterback. It's got it now it's not the arm strength. It's not the physical ability. It's none of that. It's coming down to making the right decisions at the right time. And that's the thing. Those are the things that he's been zeroing in on this spring. Watching tape, getting comfortable with the new receivers, all of those things are going to be the key for him moving forward.
One more question before we break. Given the craziness, all right, are you surprised Nick Singleton and Catron Allen both stayed?
Yes, I am.
Oh.
But, no, I'm surprised that one or both didn't declare for the draft. I mean, and that's what I'm talking about with the roster retention. Now, who knows, you know, what could happen between now and the season. I'm not saying I expect anything to happen, but listen, these guys want to play for a national title. And I think if you look at the early preseason rankings, you know, people are looking at Penn State as a national title contender. So it's one thing to make money, which is great. But I think both of these guys, and listen, I think you have to give a lot of credit to Jawan Sider, the running backs coach at Penn State, who left for a similar position at Notre Dame. But early in their careers, he convinced them that you guys can make each other better. And it was never, it's never been a competition between the two of them. It's been a complementary type thing. And I think if you look, both of them are going to end up being better NFL prospects because of the other. In the sense that when you look at, they don't have that much tread off the tires, I guess is the right way to put it. So when NFL scouts are looking at running backs, yeah, both of these guys are going to end up breaking the Penn State record, career record for rushing yardage. And but yet both of them will not have been like beaten to death by carrying that many times. So it's this weird dynamic that has worked out for both of them. So yeah, I would have thought that one of them might have declared for the draft. But the fact that they didn't, I think speaks to the respect they have for one another. And again, you know, wanting to try to get back here and win a national title.
All right, let's take a break here. All right, our friend Mark Brennan from Lions 24/7, talking Penn State sports and a couple other things. Folks, check out the website, lions247.com. Great information there. You can subscribe, get even more great information there. So, Mark, hold on. We're going to take this break. Friends, you're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. You know, we do sports talk most of the day. We'll do a little bit more here when the program continues right after this.
Get that feeling. Get that feeling. Whoa, whoa. This is the Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox is where you will hear Paul Skeens pitch.
Swing and a miss. Another strikeout for Skeens. That's four through two innings. Six up, six down for Paul Skeens.
And this is where you can learn that Key Brian Hayes is one of the best defensive players in Major League Baseball.
Bunnett. Toward Barucci, now to third. Hayes, bare hands, throws, and got him! Terrific play by Key Brian Hayes! Magnificent!
Or perhaps you're just wondering, how do you answer?
Swing, fly ball, deep right field, cruises in a grand slam! That's how you answer! That's how you answer!
Stay tuned for more Pirates baseball all summer long, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. And hopefully you remember how to properly use your...
This year's Penn State Board of Trustees election is about transparency and competence. And Pat Romano is asking for your alumni vote. Pat is a successful local business owner from Phillipsburg and a leader on the World Campus Alumni Board who believes in lowering student tuition, saving Commonwealth campuses, improving the Penn State student experience, and in honoring Joe and Sue Paterno by returning the Joe Paterno statue. Number three on your alumni ballot, Pat Romano will focus on Penn State's future and enough of the nonsense. This spring, vote for Pat Romano for the Penn State Board of Trustees.
Now a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, printing and more printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
As you look out onto your yard or acreage, you know it's coming. Lots of work and time. You may be excited about it because you have a Kubota from Daughter Equipment, which actually makes chores fun and frees up your time for other things. Or maybe you're looking at the lawn and acreage with a scowl because you don't even know if your lawn and garden equipment will even start. You need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota and the answers. If it's your first tractor, it's hard to decide how much horsepower you're looking for, what implements you'll need. Whether you're gardening or landscaping and keeping up with property maintenance, just being behind the wheel of a Kubota makes you appreciate the Kubota Compact Tractor for its simplicity and ease. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64.
Pulling out the good ones here. All right. Let's talk here on a Tuesday morning. All right. Scott with you here along with our friend Mark Brennan from Lions 24/7. Because we got sort of a sportsy week going on here with the blue-white game on Saturday. All right, Mark. We talked about some star players. Everybody knows them. How about some guys this spring? Like the thought is, hey, watch out for this guy. He's really good. Or, hey, this guy is really coming on. Or, hey, this guy transferred in and boy, he looks dynamite. Some of these new guys, if you will. I'm assuming there's one or two or three that you could mention, like, hey, watch out for these fellas. So who might those guys be?
Yeah, I mean, Elliot Washington, the quarterback, he played last year, but you didn't see a whole heck of a lot of him. But he's a relatively young guy. He dominated winter workouts. He was named cornerback player of the position in all six workouts that they had, which was kind of unheard of, and has just picked it up. And I think he's pretty much established himself as that guy, kind of opposite A.J. Harris. A.J. Harris played really well last year, and they lose Jalen Kimber, who declared for the NFL draft, and they really needed somebody to step up, and I think Elliot Washington did that. One guy I would really watch out for, I mentioned him earlier, is Devontae Ross. He's the receiver from Troy, who transferred in. I'm scrolling down here looking to find his measurements, but it's pretty interesting because he is listed, Scott, at, give me a second, I'm dying here, 5'10", 170. So he, and they say he's put on like 10 pounds, but he is like super quick. And, you know, I think he has the opportunity to be kind of the game breaker that they didn't really have the last couple years on a more consistent basis. He played really well at Iowa last year. Everybody knows that's a difficult place to play. So he has played well against Power 4 competition. And then Kyron Hudson, another receiver, the one from USC, he had a touchdown catch against Penn State, which was notable in the fact that all of Penn State, none of the returning Penn State receivers, wide receivers this year, had more than one touchdown on the year last year. So he had as many touchdown catches against Penn State as anybody did for the entire season last year in the wide receiver corps. So those are a few of the guys. I think Keon Wiley, you know, keep an eye on him. He's a linebacker, athletic. Going to have an opportunity to do some things. And as I'm looking through here, I'm trying to think of who else would really jump out at you. Defensive tackle, yeah. I would say that, you know, one guy, Xavier Gilliam, he's a young kid. I think he's big. He's athletic. He has an opportunity to do some things. So those are just some of the names that I would maybe keep an eye out for as this spring goes along and wraps up Saturday.
All right. Jim Knowles, I'll assume you've met him.
Yes.
Had phenomenal season, Ohio State defensive coordinator. Then he gets up and leaves and comes over here, which is unusual. Tell me about this guy.
He is, I mentioned Kotel Nicki before, and Kotel Nicki, I know you asked me about Knowles, but I want to use this just okay. To kind of compare and contrast. If you're a practice, you will always know where Andy Kotel Nicki is. He's like yelling at everybody. He's dropping F-bombs. He's joking around. He's having a blast. Knowles is like super low key. I mean, at practice, unbelievably low-key. He walks around, scribbles down notes, may say something to one of the other defensive assistants, and it's just this juxtaposition that I think it's an example that there are different ways to get a job done. So he is more of the low-key, going to make the practice plan. The coaches they have on defense, you know, you're led by guys like Terry Smith and Anthony Poindexter who have been around forever and are just fantastic coaches. And he lets them do most of the on-field work. And he sets the practice plan, lets them handle it. He's out there taking notes. Once practice is over, he's crushing film, and it's almost like a mad scientist. So very understated, very different from Kotelnicki, but I think it's an example that, you know, clearly, you know, you can get things done in different ways. So it was noticeable, Scott, at the practice availabilities that we had, how low-key this guy is. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but it's like you're trying to take photos, you're trying to do video. It's like, where's Knowles? Has anybody seen Knowles? Where is he? And trust me, you will know exactly where Andy Kotelnicki is. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's just, again, the guys go at it in completely different manners. And one thing that Knowles said, and we have an opportunity to talk to Kotelnicki tomorrow. Most of the availabilities this spring have been on Tuesdays, but they're making it Wednesday. I'm sure for scheduling purposes, the way things are leading up to the Blue-White game. But one thing Knowles said, and James Franklin said this as well, is that they've worked really well together in terms of learning from one another. And think about the value of that. So you have a guy who was game planning against Kotelnicki last year at Ohio State, and now he's able to come in here and say, okay, well, these are some of the things that work for us. This is what stood out to us. And it's continued on to the practice field, kind of a give and take both ways.
All right, here's an opinion question. It might not be fair. All right. The hype machine is already rolling for this team. Some expert has them as number one in the country. I'm thinking, okay, the hype machine, here we go. Can they live up to the hype? Those two coaches you just mentioned, are they going to be here a year from now? Or is some other team going to come? It seems almost inevitable. They're going to come calling and they're gone. What do you think? I'm just curious.
Yeah, Knowles isn't going anywhere. He's the highest paid coach and the highest paid assistant coach in college football. So I think he's going to be staying. And he's not a guy who aspires to be a head coach. Kotelnicki is going to be a head coach. So I think the thing that you have to worry about if you're a Penn State fan, and I don't even know that you could say worry about. It's so much different. I mean, Scott, do you realize that from, I want to say 2004 until everything went kind of haywire in 2011, they had one coaching change on a Penn State staff. Brian Norwood left and was replaced. I'm forgetting who was replaced by. It was like in 2007 or 2008, whatever it was. That stability just doesn't happen anymore. You know, it just isn't the way things work. So, to me, I don't think you have to worry about Andy Kotelnicki. If you're a Penn State fan, you don't have to worry about Andy Kotelnicki taking another offensive coordinator job. I think you have to worry about him becoming a head coach. And it's kind of the way things are anymore. I know people will look at Tom Allen and say, well, he was only here for 1 year and then he was gone. I'm not sure how great of a fit he was here personality-wise, and that's not a knock on Tom. He's a great human being. But that just didn't seem like the most comfortable kind of situation overall. I think Kotelnicki is a good fit with everybody else, and I would be surprised if he goes anywhere else other than becoming a head coach. But that man will be a head coach. Mark my words. Like, when we dealt with Brent Pry, we knew he was going to be a head coach. When we dealt with Manny Diaz, I mean, he had been a head coach already. We knew he was going to be head coach again. And I think you get that same sense with Andy Kotelnicki, just in terms of his personality, the way he carries himself. That's not a knock on Knowles. I think Knowles will be, I think, the first one to tell you that he's comfortable being a coordinator. A head coach, I don't think, is what he wants to be.
Interesting. I don't know, you don't hear that much, I don't think, anymore. It's not the old days. Another opinion question. Will this be the last blue-white game Saturday? What do you think?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I think James Franklin has an appreciation for what the game means. You know, it's self-serving in a way, but it's a gigantic recruiting weekend for them. And if I'm going to give another plug for the site, I mean, check out our site this weekend with all the recruiting coverage. I'll leave it at that leading up to it. But he knows how important it is for the community. I mean, it helps the hotels. It helps the restaurants. It helps everybody. So they're always going to have it in one form or another. I just don't think it's never going to go back to being the four-quarter game that it used to be. I mean, again, you and I were old enough that we remember when it was actually played like a game. It's never going to be that. It's always going to be, it's not even a glorified scrimmage. It's a glorified practice. So, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's actually fun to go and watch a practice. Believe me, it is. I mean, I get the opportunity to do it. I don't take that for granted. You know, it's not going and watching Penn State, Ohio State, but if you're a football person, you'll enjoy it.
All right. NFL draft starts Thursday night. First question, what exactly do we know is Abdul Carter's health? Do we really know where he's at right now?
Yeah, I think he's fine. But, you know, they uncovered something leading into the combine, and I think they say it's fine. I haven't. If you haven't heard anything to this point about it being something serious, he's going to be one of the top three picks. I'll be surprised if he lasts beyond that. But I think, I think he's fine. I mean, he's a game wrecker. He's fine. I would not worry about Abdul Carter.
All right. So what's going to happen Thursday night? I mean, the draft starts Thursday night and then continues into Friday. What's going to happen Thursday night?
Yeah, I mean, I think if Tennessee's number one, they're going to take a quarterback. Cleveland is number two. They're going to do something stupid and pass on Abdul Carter. Because that's what Cleveland does, right? It'll make good.
Okay.
No, seriously, think about it. So if you're the Cleveland Browns, your best player is who? Myles Garrett, right?
Yeah.
And you just sign him to a massive five-year contract. And you have the opportunity, again, I'm going to use the term because it's true, and we saw it. You have the opportunity to get another game wrecker in there opposite Myles Garrett. On a rookie deal for 4 years with a team option for the fifth year. Now, typically on that fifth year, they're going to renegotiate before that happens. But think about the value that you're getting. And when you look at the NFL draft, there's a reason that quarterbacks and defensive ends and offensive tackles go so high. Because those are the most expensive positions. If you're able to get an Abdul Carter, I don't care about Travis Hunter. That's great. He could play two different positions. But I'm getting a guy who could be opposite Myles Garrett on a team-friendly contract for 4 years. And you don't have to worry about defensive end. And you don't have to worry about cornerback because quarterbacks aren't going to have an opportunity to throw the ball. You know, having said all that, just look at what Cleveland's done the last 4 or 5 years, and you could – rest assured that they're going to do something stupid, and that's going to be not take Abdul Carter. So what does that mean? That means another stupid team, the Giants, who basically gave my beloved Philadelphia Eagles Saquon Barkley, now they're on the clock. I don't think they're that dumb. I think the Giants are going to take Abdul Carter, and he's going to end up being a really good player. They have a couple of really good pass rushers there. And, again, you can never have enough pass rushers. And he's going to get in with that outfit and do really well. So, to me, I think Abdul Carter goes three to the Giants. Tyler Warren, I think he's one of the top 10 players in the draft, Scott. But the value on tight ends just isn't there. I don't have my notes in front of me, but I think there's only been three or four first-round tight ends taken this decade. Pitts a few years ago was like number four, but that teams just don't do it. So, you know, a lot of the experts are saying he'll go 14. I think it is to the Colts. The Colts have a real need there. They got no production. and that would seem about right to me. I think if somebody else took him, it would be kind of a luxury pick for them earlier than that. I think he's one of the top 10 players without doubt, but I just don't know the teams put that much value. And then from then on, you know, the key question is going to be KJ Winston. He ran a really good 40, I think 4.5. I don't have the numbers right in front of me at Pro Day, but you know, he's coming off an ACL injury suffered early last season. I think he would have been a no-brainer second round pick. And people are still talking about him. A lot of mock drafts have him going to my beloved Eagles at the end of the second round, which would be, you know, I would love that. But I just don't know. I think people might be a little bit worried, and you might not see him go until the third round. Jalen Reed, safety, I think you're looking for third, fourth round. And then Kobe King, I thought, did really well for himself at Pro Day. He ran well. Fifth round guy, you know, third day, in that area somewhere. So Kimber actually did really well Pro Day as well. I mean, he ran really well. He was snubbed, didn't get invited to the combine. I think he might have worked his way into the draft. And then another guy, keep an eye on Keziah Izzard. He ran a 4.7 and change 40 at Pro Day, which was crazy. And it would have been the fastest by a defensive tackle at the NFL Combine. But you look at his testing numbers, and it's really weird because he tested phenomenally, but then you match that up with his stats at Penn State, and he just – the production wasn't there. So it's just a situation where – 4.81, I'm sorry, it wasn't 4.7. But is this a situation where somebody sees a guy tested like a freak – and decides to take a late round flyer. But I think those are the guys who have an opportunity. There are other guys who will be undrafted free agents, but I would be surprised if anybody beyond that crew has a real opportunity to be drafted.
All right. One final question. Now, we talked NIL earlier, which again still confuses the heck out of the old guy here, you know, this craziness and so on. You know, Tennessee and UCLA essentially did a trade. One quarterback went the one direction, the quarterback goes the other way. I mean, it's like a good old-fashioned pro trade or something like that. I guess I'm just curious or perplexed. You know, Penn State's been kind of quiet on all this stuff. Other schools, it's been nuts. It's been crazy. Tennessee, you know, all this stuff. Is it a situation where everything is just hunky-dory rosy at Penn State? It's just been so quiet that you don't hear anything that much about NIL there. What is there some story behind this?
If you're a Penn State fan, you want to knock on wood, right? Sooner or later, whether it's this year or next year or whatever, you know, somebody's parent is going to say they need more money or whatever. You know what I mean? I mean, it's going to happen. But, you know, so far it goes back to where we started our whole conversation, Scott, when you asked me about spring practice. And I know I keep going back to this, but roster retention, and it's about the culture of the program. And if you have the right culture, it's not going to be perfect, but you're going to put people in a situation where they're more likely to stay. I mean, I think one of the under – another one of the, I don't think it's received enough publicity, but the situation with King Mack, are you familiar with what happened here? I mean, he's a Penn State safety, comes in as a true freshman 2 years ago. And, yeah, he's a special teams guy. He's a backup safety, you know, putting himself into position where he's probably going to play a lot in 2024. Not a ton. I mean, they were really stacked at safety, but he would have been a really good backup piece for them in 2024. Goes through winter workouts, goes through spring practice. The portal opened after spring practice last year. What a concept. And he's like shockingly enters the portal, and he ends up transferring to Alabama. And King Mack goes down, and he's pretty much at Alabama what he would have been at Penn State. Special teams guy, backup safety. And the season ends and comes toward an end. Again, the portal opened during the season. King Mack goes back in the portal and transfers back to Penn State. What? I mean, so that's kind of what I've been talking about. Why on earth would a kid leave Penn State for Alabama, and then be at Alabama for 1 year, and then decide to come back to Penn State. It's because he liked playing here. He likes the culture. He likes the coaches. You know what I'm saying? He realized that there's something above all this other crap that everybody's talking about. And I shouldn't say crap. It's above all this other stuff. There are things that you can't necessarily put a price tag on. And that's being happy with where you are. So I know that may sound a little bit corny, but I think if you make your program a spot where people are comfortable and are happy, it's going to take a lot to pry them out of there. Some of them. Not all of them. I mean, some of them. But I've been around enough. You know, now you have parents, now you have agents, now you have all these other people. So the best you can do is make your culture and make the program as much of a happy place and a comfortable place for your players as you possibly can. And I think that's what James Franklin has been able to do. And again, I don't want to suggest that it's perfect or that there isn't going to be a situation where a big name player leaves at some point, not necessarily soon, but again, you know, next season, whenever it may be. But the best you can do is make it a good spot for people, and I think that's what they've been able to do.
So for all the Franklin haters out there, did you hear what Mark just said? I agree with Mark, I agree with you. All right. Got a good situation here. Let's win a championship. Yeah, hello. That would be a great thing. But yeah, I still read the stuff from the Franklin haters. I'm like, oh, for goodness sakes. Mark,
one quick thing, Scott. You could be critical of Franklin for stuff like in-game stuff or if you don't like calls or whatever. But you can't be critical of him for the way he's built this program. What he inherited and what he's built it into, you just can't be. And anybody who is naive. But if you want to be ticked that they can't beat Ohio State, that's fine. That's fair criticism. But no, you in terms of the program he's beaten. So I know that I'm going on a little bit long here, but I did want to throw that out there because if people do hate Franklin, it's like, you know, be mad at him for not winning games. Big games, but in terms of building the program, he's put this thing somewhere where it hasn't really been.
All right, I'll restart the music. Time. There we go. Hey, we got to take a break. Mark, appreciate your time. Have fun this week.
Will do. Thanks, Scott.
All right, that's our friend Mark Brennan from Lions 24/7, lions247.com. They do some great reporting there. Free plug. Check it out. We'll come right back.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, the Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. PIMP, located at 136 South Harrison Road in Pleasant Gap and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. No purchase necessary.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a stock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox is where you will hear Paul Skeens pitch.
Swing and a miss, another strikeout for Skeens. That's four through two innings. Six up, six down for Paul Skeens.
And this is where you can learn that Key Brian Hayes is one of the best defensive players in Major League Baseball.
Bunnett toward Baruchy, now to third. Hayes, bare hands, throws, and got him! Terrific play by Key Brian Hayes! Magnificent!
Or perhaps you're just wondering, how do you answer?
Swing, fly ball, deep right field, cruises in a grand slam. That's how you answer. That's how you answer.
Stay tuned for more Pirates baseball all summer long, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. And hopefully you remember how to properly use your...
Get ready, Center County. Clearwater Pool and Spa is turning up the heat at this year's Bellefonte Cruise on June 13th and 14th with an incredible giveaway. We're giving one lucky winner a walk-in 735L hot tub by Hot Springs. This six-person luxury spa is designed for the ultimate relaxation experience. Featuring powerful massage jets for deep hydrotherapy, multi-zone LED lighting to set the perfect mood, energy-efficient smart jet technology to keep costs low, and of course, the trusted quality of Hot Springs Spas, the industry leader in comfort and innovation. Want to enter? Stop by Clearwater Pool and Spa in Center Hall before the event, or visit our booth at the Bellefonte Cruise on June 13th and 14th to sign up. Don't miss your chance to take home this premium hot spring hot tub. Make sure to check us out online at groupclearwater.com or visit us in person at our Center Hall location where you can browse our full lineup of hot spring spas. And while you're there, be sure to ask about our Imagine Pools and our selection of fiberglass pools by Ocean Reef. Win big this summer with Clearwater Swimming Pool Company and the Bellefonte Cruise.
Recent changes to analog phone lines have increased faxing costs dramatically. With Cloud Fax Solutions from Doing Better Business, you can now have a reliable, scalable method, which is great for compliance. XM Fax integrates seamlessly with our Ricoh and all multifunctional devices and provides a secure, shared experience with automatic workflow routing. Take your faxing to the cloud with Doing Better Business. Our solutions and service teams are ranked in the top 10% of the country for customer satisfaction. Visit us today at doingbetterbusiness.com.
Let's talk for a Tuesday morning. I think we've got a whopping 2 minutes here. I had a fun conversation with our friend Mark Brennan from Lions 24/7. And yeah, it's a good week. Now, yesterday, if you were listening, our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, said, weather Saturday, let's hope he's wrong, or things changed, and so on, so that we have a nice day on Saturday. I'm not sure I quite agree with my friend Mark about the blue-white game. It's going to, I think, change. No, it's already changed. It's not the same as it used to be, you know, 10, 20, whatever years ago. It just isn't. Like a game. Now it's going to be more of a showcase, I guess you would call it. If you're going to go on Saturday, for instance, Penn State's two national championship teams are doing some autograph signing as part of the deal, which is cool. The wrestling team will be at Legacy Plaza around the stadium, and the women's volleyball team will be at Gate B on Saturday. Same time for both, 12:30 to 1:15 p.m., and then I believe the game is supposed to, 1:30 or thereabouts on Saturday. So I could see Penn State, and I think some other schools are doing this, turning this into sort of just an event. It's not just a football game. It's more of a, hey, there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's that, and other teams are involved, and come meet other athletes and stuff like that, which is cool. I mean, that would be a fun Penn State event. And yes, frankly, if they can find a way to make some money at it, it would be NIL-type money because, again, these schools got to find ways, revenue streams, to, you know, get more dough in here so that either now or in the future we are trying to entice players. Folks, I'm so old school. I really am. But that's the way of the world right now, right? I mean, this whole situation with this kid from Tennessee. Yes, Mark mentioned parent. Apparently the dad got involved. Like, son, you should be making more money from Tennessee. Okay, that was a mistake. Parents out there, if you've got a hotshot athlete, good for you. But don't get involved with the NIL whatever type money. Just don't do it. All right, stay out. All right, friends, welcome. Thank you for listening. We've got some more great guests coming up here on Let's Talk, so hope you join us. But in the meantime, have yourself a terrific Tuesday.